would be at least the second time that I'm going to open the show with a comment on Parmesan cheese.
Yeah, definitely at least the second time.
Yeah, because I just ate a chunk of Parmesan cheese and it was in the soup that you made. Mm-hmm. And there was a Parmesan rind in the soup. And the rind cooks in the soup for hours and hours and hours and hours. And then you take out the rind because you're supposed to just take it out because it's just for the flavor. But then it's like, oh, this magical, like, chewy mystery cheese. And you can eat it. And you shouldn't, but I just had a piece of it.
It's definitely not the first time we've talked about exactly that.
No, I don't think the rind. I think last week I just talked, or some other time, I talked about Parmesan cheese maybe being like the perfect cheese, but it was just because I was just like eating it in the fridge right before we started. But this time I just had soup, which you so kindly made, passive aggressively made, and then kind of held it over my head that you made it, which is fun. And I appreciate so much that you made such a beautiful soup. But does it have to come with a little side of disdain?
Yes.
Does it?
The answer is yes.
Okay.
If it wasn't for me, you'd just be eating just the block of cheese.
The soup was amazing. It was chicken noodle, but you do this thing that makes me so happy. You know, you take note of like my favorite things, and you know one of my favorite things in the whole world is tiny noodles. Mm-hmm. Noodles that are so small, they're almost microscopic.
Yeah.
And you get the tiniest little egg noodles, and it was amazing. It kind of reminds me of the noodles in that, oh, what's that like instant soup that like everybody has when they're sick, and it's like in a box.
Oh, it's with Lipton's.
Yes.
Something noodle, it's got a fun name like Noodle-rama.
Oh, there's, do you hear Junie barking? Sorry to interrupt the noodling, but there she is. I told you, I said when I came up here to record, I go, Junie's sitting down there with it. She's got like the little she's got the eye that she's about to screw around and give us trouble, and there she is far off in the distance. Right. Bork bork bork. Do you want to go get her? I can hold down the fort about soups and cheeses.
Yes, I'll leave you with this. It's soup secrets is what you're thinking of.
Oh, you're right. Yeah, you're right.
I'll go get June.
Okay, yeah. So I can continue on about the soup.
Please don't.
It was amazing. And it had carrots and it had onions and it had celery and it had everything you could ever ask for in a soup. June, what do you think? Oh, yeah. Wow. Oh, wow. Oh, my God. Wow. Okay. So this is like she's doing all the moves that she does right before a big zoom. Big zoomies. Oh, and her zoomies usually result in her like falling flat on her face and sliding across the floor on her like eye socket. But for a solid mileage across the carpet. But that's okay. It's all part of it. She loves it. She slides around. She falls down because she's just missing the one leg in the front.
Yeah, we call it the old meat crayon.
Oh, God. That's awful. Just for clarification, guys, Judy doesn't actually ever really hurt herself when she does it. It's fun. We don't let her meat crayon herself.
She's pretty hardy.
Okay, she's down. Anyway, so today is, I have to preface today with, and I'm so sorry about it, but today has to be a pretty short episode. This will be, famous last words, right? This will be, mark my words, the shortest episode in Adventures in Dog Photography history. Why is that, Sammo?
Cut to people looking at the time of the episode when it comes in. They're like, it's 2.5 hours long.
I know. I'm really aiming for like a solid 30 minutes here. This will be a quickie boy.
All right. Why? It's because we are hopping in the car tomorrow and we're heading down to Florida,
That's right, baby. We got 24 hours in the car starting tomorrow. And so we have a lot to do to get ready. Oh, then Junie, do you want to come with us? June, do you want to come with us, or would you like to stay here in New Hampshire by yourself? What do you think?
Well, she wants to stay here. It's going to be like home alone.
Imagine. What would Junie do on her own?
What would she do?
First, starve. Second?
Immediately die.
Don't say that. Come here. What are you doing? We always talk about how like some dogs are like well-equipped for life in the wild. You know, like they're like... Pretty smart, like strong, agile, like graceful, like they can, resourceful, you know. And then Junie, on the other hand, we often take bets like how long would she last out in the wilderness. And my bet is usually like a day, but Sam always goes like 4 hours.
Yeah, you know how like sometimes when like a, you know, a really nasty bug comes in the house, you kind of have to squish it or whatever. Like... We try to rehome as many bugs as we can, but sometimes you gotta squish a bug. And we always look at Junie and be like, why don't we squish you?
Why does this little creature get to live in here and she doesn't get squished in a napkin?
She doesn't get squished in a napkin.
In fact, she gets fed and like she gets her medical attention and she gets, what else does she get? She gets special coats. She gets all, she's tilting at me because I said the S-P-E-C-I-A-L word. That's her favorite word because it means a T-R-E-A-T is coming. She knows how to spell now. I have to be careful.
Watch out what you spell. We're going to have to start to misspell it.
So tomorrow we take off on a big road trip. It takes us 2 days to get down to Florida. We are heading back to the land of retirement, back to the villages, back to the golf cart rides and the movies and Disney World and most of my favorite things.
Yeah, back to sneaking sushi into the movies.
Yes, that's the best part. That's probably all right. That and Joshua's walks in the Spanish Springs Town Square are the best part.
Yeah, it is. It's really, really nice. Like once it sunsets, you know, it's funny. There's a little band in the town squares, but then once the band stops, everything is shut and it just clears out and it's perfectly empty, but it's still lit and warm and safe and there's no traffic.
Yeah.
And so it's the absolute perfect place to walk a Joshua.
A Joshua, yeah. A sausage man, a youngest man, a sausage man. Today we found a tiny turd in Joshua's bed.
Listen, he's getting old. Sometimes there's a tiny turd that gets left behind.
It was just a
behind.
Little gift. It was a tiny turd and it was super hard. So I feel like it had been there a while. But I mean, I say tiny, it was like the size of a dime.
Yeah, it's something like a guinea pig would leave behind.
Yeah, I don't know why. Every once in a long, long while, once every few months, he has a tiny, tiny turd in his bed.
That's all right.
That's awful.
That's all right.
But yeah, anyway, so big adventures for us. We go down to Florida, so we'll check back in. But I will say, like a full disclosure, you guys are so lovely, and thank you for bearing with us because there will very likely not be a podcast next week because we are crazy busy flat out when we get to Florida. And once we get there and we get settled in and set up, before we know it, it'll be like recording day again. And we have like shoots and things already scheduled. And so I have a feeling there won't be one next week because we record on Thursdays and we already have like an obligation down in Florida on that day. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to say likely there won't be one next week, but we will resume in true fashion. The following week. We're bringing the whole podcast setup, right?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. We'll have the whole setup. So we'll be down there. We're getting a lot of quote-unquote office work done while we're down there. still working on this gigantic project that we are so super excited to be talking to you about soon. But in the meantime, to finish our little catch-up from this past week, you got a lot of really lovely messages on our Instagram about your dad's 80th birthday.
I know! I just wanted to thank you guys all for, like, sending such beautiful messages over. And I just want you to know, I sat down with him on his actual 80th birthday and went through those comments on Instagram, and he was, like, beaming.
Yeah, he read everyone.
He was so happy. He read everyone in front of us, like, out loud, and it was the cutest thing in the world. He just is still trying to figure out, like, how to respond. I don't think he quite knows how to do that without my assistance yet. So just so you guys know, he saw them, and it touched his heart so much. And I think I haven't been able to read them all myself yet, but there was one he read out loud, and I think, let me shout out Hoff House Photography. I think it was from Jess from Hoff House, and she mentioned how she met Dad at Shutterhound. Am I right? I'm thinking off the top of my head that that's who said it.
I know there were a few people that had said that specifically about meeting your dad at Shutterhound.
She left the most beautiful comment about, if it wasn't Jess, forgive me, but I think it was, about like meeting Dad at Shutterhound and how he helped, like he let her know that she could get her book signed, and don't you dare stand for coming all this way and not getting your book signed. Like, I'll take care of it or whatever. I can't remember, but he was like beaming as he read that. He was so happy. So
yeah.
You made his day. You all really made his day. But yeah, his birthday itself, which was on this past Tuesday, it was on April 16th, was so amazing. It was so special.
Yeah, it was a big success. I mean, I think
I don't think we said what we were doing. You say a big success.
Yeah.
I don't even think we told people because we had to keep it under the cuff.
Under the cuff.
Yeah, what's the word?
No, it's under the cuff.
What is it? Up the cuff.
Undercover? Off the cuff?
No, close to the vest.
Close, okay. different clothing.
Under the tongue.
No.
No?
Nope.
Did it get worse?
Yeah, we're just getting way off track now. Yeah, basically, you know, we were having a nice party for him kind of at a local venue. But, you know, Kaylee and I were in charge of a lot of the creative.
You say a nice party, but you so undersold that. It was a huge, amazing surprise party. That's a different way to put it than nice party. It was a nice party at a local place. No, it was really special. There was like 70 people there, and they came from all over. And to see, just to see Dad, and it was a big surprise, and it was a huge success. And we had streamers, and we had like air horns or whatever, the party horns. And Dad was totally surprised. And it was his friends from all throughout his life, and his family, and so many of our friends as well who love Dad came. It was just such a beautiful event. So it was a big surprise. So I don't know if we mentioned it on here, just in case he listened. I might have let it slip by accident on one of the preceding episodes or whatever, But my brother, my sister, my brother Kenny, my sister Sherry, and myself put this on at Dad's favorite restaurant in the world, which is like 2 miles away from his house because he says he lives within a 2 mile radius. Everything in life that he needs to do should be within 2 miles, he says, which is why it was really, really, really hard to get him out to Vegas for Shutterhound. He's a man of comfort zones. But anyways, so we did it at this restaurant, and we had so many people come, and it was a huge success. Now, Sam, back to you.
Great. So yeah, we were involved with a lot of fun creative projects for it, which are photography related, so we can bring it back around to something that is slightly applicable. We did a lot of cool stuff. So one, I made a backdrop for a little photo booth setup that we had. So I made a Your Dad themed step and repeat, which was hilarious. Designed it on Canva and had his big floating head with the party hat, a bunch of 80s, like the numeral 80s, and then some little race cars.
That's great.
Yeah, it was great. And we had so we have a lot of like, you know, really professionally lit and photographed pictures and portraits of him and his friends, but in front of the most ridiculous backdrop. It's so funny.
It's so good. We also printed huge versions of images like from throughout his life that we put on easels all throughout the function room, and they were like, I think the biggest one was like, was it like 48 by 60 or something?
Something like that. Huge. It was pretty big. And this was another cool kind of learning thing is, you know, he had these like 3x5, 4x6, 5x7 photos from literally like the 70s. And we're tasked with like restoring them and blowing them up to like gigantic proportions.
Well, not necessarily tasked, like we came up with the idea.
Well, yeah, we wanted to do it.
I don't think anybody knew we were going to go to that like extent.
No, so obviously like we, so we don't necessarily have a scanner. It's just like not a thing that we own. So I set up the photos, just kind of set them up straight. I just propped them on a chair and then photographed them with our camera. Uploaded them.
You like lit them really nice too.
Yeah, well, I, you know, lit them, made sure they were straight, made sure I was shooting that with like a 50, like something that was kind of like a relatively like kind of neutral focal length, and then uploaded them into Photoshop. Photoshop has a lot of new like AI photo retouching tools, like in its neural filters section, and much like the other AI things that they have, like you should like try to use it, but you also need to know like when it gives you crazy results, how to fix it. Because it does have this really remarkable like scratch removal sort of thing, because obviously like old photographs can have like thousands of tiny scratches on them, and it will do a really good job of finding them, but it will also be like, oh, this person's nose is a scratch, and just remove it. So you need to know how to kind of go in there and fix it up. And then what were we using? Topaz Sharpen?
We did like Sharpen. Yeah, they were like,
which is pretty
remarkable.
It's a photo
of a photo. Yep. A photo of a print from the 70s. Yep. Like the original image that was created in the camera on the roll of film in the 70s already wasn't sharp, because the camera settings back then just like couldn't handle, because these photos, I'll get into it more about what my dad's like life was about, but these photos are all him like on in race cars or on, in like drag race cars or on like motorcycles of some kind. So they were already like speed sort of photos, like action-y photos, and they were all, you know, pretty soft on the focus anyway, just due to the era that they came from. And then you take a picture of that, a print, and then you upload the file, and then it's kind of like you really need help.
Yeah, but between those steps and just kind of cleaning it up in general, we were able to make some pretty like huge prints, and they came out really, really nice. We also printed them from 4over, which is like such a funny website. They're not necessarily like consumer facing, because like the like the back end of it is kind of like a nightmare.
Yeah, and it is. But like, huge shout out to Four Over. They're doing an amazing job.
They did a great job.
And I think we need to shout out Taryn Bayer because she's the one who told me about it.
Oh, is she?
Like 12 years
that
ago.
That must have been so long ago. Yeah.
Yeah. She was like my first booth I was ever trying to do, like maybe 12 or 13 years ago. Mm-hmm. And she's like, oh, this is where I get like all my signage and stuff. And it was like this terrible website that looks so janky. But I trusted her and I ordered my stuff from there and it came up beautiful and it was really affordable. And it's at the time, and it still is really actually for today's for inflation.
It's
Jesus.
Still very affordable. You just need to know how to like convert your images to CMYK PDFs and upload those. And so but they came out brilliant. Now I think he has them all at his house right now. So he has these new kind of like super high res photos. And then we also we found an old VHS of, I think they were originally reel to reel tapes. Then they were quote unquote digitized to VHS maybe 20 years ago by your sister, and then we found an old VCR and that VHS and re-digitized them so that we could then project the old videos onto the wall at your dad's party. So it was cool. We had a lot of Charlie Greer themed photo and video projects going on behind the scenes.
It was so, so wonderful. I got all my dad's trophies out from his years of racing and all the amazing stuff that he did when he was younger. And I got all the trophies out, and they haven't been out of his basement in, I don't know, 30 years, 40 years probably. So we got them all out, we snuck them out, and then we like cleaned them all up and polished them and put them out on display and put out all these magazines that have articles about him and in his cars and the things that he did and all the races that he raced. So yeah, without... I've gone into it without really mentioning that my dad was like really well known in New England for drag racing. He built a extremely unique car called the like Instant T. I'd have to get dad on the podcast to explain exactly what this is all about, but it was like this really unique drag racing car that set a lot of records at the time in the 70s. And he was like pretty well known around these parts. If you guys know of like the kind of... the tropey like ads that used to be on the radio that were like Sunday, Sunday, Sunday down at the old like drag strip, blah, 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 you know, whatever. In this case, like the New England Dragway, like dad, they always kind of highlighted like a couple races in those. And they would say, come see XYZ versus XYZ. And my dad was commonly one of those names in there that people would, they would announce that people would kind of be one of the main features, like kind of like the main match at WrestleMania, but for drag racing.
Yes, but for drag racing.
and also dad, in addition to that, dad did ice bike racing on his motorcycle. So he had like studs put in the tires so that he could like race on in like an ice arena, basically like in a hockey arena, on a rink. He would race his motorcycle as well as he did like some motocross racing as well, but it was mostly on ice as far as I know, from what I've, all the stories I've been told and all the news articles I've seen and the photos I've seen and the videos and stuff like that. So he kind of has a storied past with you know, in that scene, a lot of people know who he is. One of his cars was up in a museum, the drag racing museum, for a long time.
Yeah, it's still there. I don't know exactly which museum, but yeah, it's basically, I don't know much about cars, but it's basically like a Model T style car, but that can do 165 miles an hour.
Well, I don't know if it's 165.
Yeah, that's what it is. It says it on the... some sort of plaque.
Is that what it, really?
Yeah.
Oh man, that's so cool.
Yeah.
Anyway, so dad is a pretty cool guy and he's done a lot of really cool stuff in his life. So on his 80th birthday, we thought we would honor all of it. So like I said, it was just quite a special spectacle his birthday was. And I got some really awesome photos of him with like throwing confetti in the air and stuff. I'll have to share one. Let's just put it on the stories anyway. Yeah, on Adventures in Dog Photography.
Put it in a story. That's fun.
But yeah, it was really special. It was a really special couple days leading up to it as well. We spent a lot of time with dad, like really doing like, we were like did some home improvement projects for him because he's living by himself in a big old house and there's a lot of stuff that needs to be done to that house. So we all came together and we like ripped up his carpet that was 50 years old and we painted the walls and we put in new lighting and things like that. I replaced his like curtains and we went to Home Depot together. Quick aside, we went to Home Depot together and my dad, he's funny. He's a funny guy. He's so funny and you will love him. But at first he seems like sometimes like an old curmudgeon, and the guy came up to cut the curtains for us. It was like a young kid, you know what I mean? And my dad like knows everything about everything when it comes to like anything to do with like home improvement or construction or cars or anything. So the kid walks up and he starts cutting the curtains, and my dad goes, "Hey, Jack, how long you been doing this? Couple hours?"
Yeah, your dad's got no filter. He's got the Irish whisper.
No filter. So, of course, the kid was massively put off. And then, by the way, by the end, he loved my dad. He was, like, cracking up. But I think at first he had no idea how to take that.
Yeah, he's like that Nick Offerman meme that just says, "I know more than you."
That's hilarious and completely true.
Yeah.
Okay, so there's so much more that I would say about it, but that concludes the portion of the podcast where we talk about Dad's birthday party.
So, Kaylee, this is the Adventures in Dog Photography podcast, where we talk about photos of dogs, or in this case, a cat.
Woo!
So
nobody told me there'd be cats.
So
I think I probably said this. I probably made this same tire joke on the episode that we did of Nick's the cat half underwater.
Yeah, I think we've done a couple of cat photos. And
have
and,
we?
And
did we do Craig's cats on the mountain?
Yes. And, okay. And every time you've made that joke.
Yeah.
And it gets funnier every time.
I know, I thought so.
So for those of you that might be driving, perhaps doing heavy manual labor, running some sort of marathon, perhaps you're diving and you're listening to us on special underwater headphones.
Yes.
And you can't access your phone to check out Instagram at Adventures in Dog Photography. Kaylee, why don't you do a beautiful and succinct job of describing the photo that we're going
to
discuss.
Go to a party. They say, "What do you do for a job?"
Yep.
Your turn.
Yep. I can't concentrate because you have a half-drinking seltzer water just balancing on the couch.
That's my Chris Miller time, but I didn't get to open it on the podcast because I was already drinking it with dinner.
Right, but it's really freaking me out that you're just going to bobble around and spill it all over the couch.
Hey, did this episode start with the original Adventures in Dog Photography theme song?
Yep. Yep. Sure.
Woo! We're back to our roots. Yep. Back to the old original.
Back to our roots. You can enjoy that sweet guitar solo that I put in the middle.
Oh, did you put a sweet guitar solo in the middle?
Yeah, it's under the bridge.
Under the bridge?
Yeah.
Like a troll?
Yep. It's much like a troll.
Okay, we got a cat, guys. Guys, we got a cat. So I was looking for a photo that like I love and I think is like interesting, but also doesn't have like a massive story behind it because...
We're at the 30-minute point.
No, because we're on an expedited episode, as you can tell based on, you know, all my stories so far. Mm-hmm. This is a photo of a gorgeous orange cat. What do you call this type of cat? Isn't there like a technical term for this?
I have no
idea.
All
right, guys, I admit it. Like, I love cats, but I don't know a lot about cats. I really don't. It's a short-haired domestic, I will say that, but it's orange. It might be a tabby. I think this is a tabby cat. Let's go with that. And somebody correct me if I'm wrong, but do so nicely and kindly.
Adventures in Dog Photography, remember.
Yes, exactly. So we're going off brand. We're going off the rails here. A gorgeous orange cat with the most beautiful green eyes. And he is shot in my classic, if you don't know by now, my classic wide angle, in your face, super colorful, dog breath photography, bobbly headed style. Shot outdoors. He is sitting on a pool deck. And the kind of like the substrate that he's like sitting on is like wooden planks that would be basically like leading to a pool area with a pool behind and even further behind that, like a gorgeous, really old Spanish style architecture, sort of low lying building, and then big blue sky with perfect white puffy clouds. So we'll post the photo, of course, on the old Instagram so you can just see what I'm talking about instead of me having to crappily describe it anymore.
Yes, beautifully done. So yes, this was taken in Spain in a little town called Olavella. This is actually where we taught a couple different workshops over the years. I think our first one back in 2016. And then this photo was taken at our second workshop there in 2022.
22, was it? Not 23?
It was 2022.
Oh, wow. It was 22. That's right, because 23 was Shutterhound.
Yep.
Oh, my God. She rises. Jumbo. Hi, little one. Oh, my God. What a nuggetino.
Very good.
Little nuggetine.
Yep. Yep. You want to derail us further?
Little thick chicken.
Yep.
Little thick chicken nugget.
Yep.
Oh, my. Keep going. God, Junie. Oh, wow. Oh, wow. Look at those flaps. Look at these flappy flaps on her mouth.
Yep. That's great.
Isn't
for
that
this
nice?
Very visual podcast.
Isn't that delicious? And look at this little bottom. The bottom is round. The bottom is round. The bottom is nice. And I will say that she has like scruffy butt, like slightly scruffy butt hair and a little tail. and a smiling face and pointy ears. You want to do like the rest of the... It's almost like I'm describing a photo of Junie sleeping right next to me.
You want to do the rest of the podcast on your own?
Actually, yes. Get out.
All right.
All right. See you later. Sam's leaving. Sam's actively leaving. Bye. See you later, Sam-o. See you later. Okay, I'm doing good podcasting by myself. He's actually leaving. Okay, the door's closing. Okay, I'm by myself. Okay, we'll see how long it takes for him to break. Because he misses me so much. He's going to come back. And if he doesn't come back, guys, it's just me and you. All right? So I'm going to tell you the story about this photo of Ollie the cat in Olivella, Spain. Because, yes, as Sam mentioned, this photo was taken. This photo was taken at the Barcelona dog photography, I'm not going to say a workshop, actually, because this one, the Barcelona, is the original in our series of Out of This World Pet Photography Retreats. And like Sam mentioned, we did our first one in 2016 in this incredible house. You can't even imagine how incredible this house is. Out in kind of like pretty rural area of Spain, about 2 hours outside of Barcelona. And it's like this town that's pretty much nothing but vineyards, and it's kind of like set into the side of a small mountain. It's really stunning. It's like something straight out of the pages of a fairy tale. And we rented this house, this 18-bedroom, like, crazy, incredible property that has kind of like multiple buildings, multiple houses on the property. But it used to be like basically a whole village. And then that little part of the village got sort of walled in to be part of this property. And then all the different buildings within the village got turned into kind of the estate, you know, if that makes any sense. So that's where we are in this photo. We were teaching Barcelona the second round of it, though, because the second... Oh, my God, he re-enters. Hold on, guys. Did you set your timers for how long it took for him to miss me?
And I noticed the only thing that you've done since I've been gone is say the exact same thing that I just said.
No, but I said it much nicer.
You said it much longer.
I said it much nicer, much longer, much more descriptive.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Samo, what do you call this building that's behind him? What would you call that?
A mesa?
Mm.
Well, I mean, that's an addition. That's not...
I guess. I forget what the term is, but I described it so nice, Sam, you wouldn't even believe it. You did not even hear everything mm-hmm. I said.
Okay.
Why
don't you repeat it all again, this time with more details?
One time when, okay, so the first time we stayed there, Sam and I got the, like, kind of the master bedroom, and we might have talked about this before, and it was so magical and amazing. But now remember this, when was this building built? Like, wasn't this like the 11th century, the original one?
I think 13th century.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Sorry. I'm thinking about the France house was 11th century.
It's
okay. So 13th century. So we're in this like original bedroom, and there was this tiny door in the bedroom, tiny door. And I didn't think it served a purpose at all. I wasn't sure what it was, but it was kind of like a little bit off the ground, and it wasn't for going in. Like, you could tell for guests weren't supposed to go in there. Well, one day, it was in between workshops. Sam and I were in the room, and it's already like beautiful, but super creepy also because it's so old and everything's made out of like stone and everything. Well, suddenly, I don't know if I was laying in bed or just like, I don't know what I was doing, working on my computer or something. Suddenly, that door flies open. Remember? It flies open and a woman comes out. And the woman was dressed in like what, at least at first glance, seemed to me like period made clothing. But it really wasn't period made clothing. It was kind of just like regular kind of the day made clothing, but it just like, it was black and white. And so when I glanced, I saw like a medieval like times. I don't know if they had maids. I'm sure they did back then, but like maid. And I was like, what? I was convinced it was a ghost. I was so terrified. I think you were in there too.
Yeah. Expecting the wall to just open up and a person to come stumbling out. No.
And she was like, oh, she was like so apologetic. But then remember, there's like a language barrier too. Obviously, because we're in Spain, so she would speak Catalan in the area that we were in. So, like, we tried to communicate with her and be like, oh, no, it's okay, it's okay. Because I realized it was, like, the day that we were, like, cleaning the house in between the two workshop weeks. And so she was like, I guess there was, like, a maid's quarters back there. And you could pass through this tiny hallway to get, like, back to a laundry room. And she, I guess, didn't know we were going to be in there. And she just came blasting out in her maid costume.
Yeah, it's basically like secret hallways for the help, so you don't have to see them.
Yeah,
it's what it is.
It's absolutely
all
wild. It was the scariest thing ever, but it was so fun. Anyway, I could talk about this house forever and ever. And I think, babe, on a not expedited episode, we should do one like more about Barcelona and like all the photos we took there and the house and everything, because that place, it's such an incredible, incredible place and such a wild like story, and you know, the property and all the history surrounding it and everything would be kind of fun to do. Mm-hmm. But today we'll talk about the cat. Okay, back to the cat. So remember how we met Ollie? The first day that we got there, now this was not the first time, this was the second time. First time we were in there was in 2016. I recall there being cats around in the village the first time, but when we went back in 2022, there were more cats.
And Ollie greeted us as we came to the house, and he said, hello, welcome to my house. And he basically greeted us, let himself in, just hanging around.
Whoa, you really glazed over that. Whoa. Okay, our styles. All right, guys, our styles are so different, because I was good leading up to when we arrived at the house the second time. We rolled into the driveway and in the trees. So before we even get to like the main door of the house, there's basically like a big, huge door that walls off the property, and you have to go through this huge, huge door to then get into this like outdoor courtyard kind of garden thing. And then through the garden, you eventually get to the real front door. Well, when we get to the outer outside door, there's like a decent amount of cats out there, and they were like in the trees and stuff. They were in like all the trees surrounding the door, and I was like, I could hear them like meow, like in the trees above our heads, right? And I was like, what is going on? Because I couldn't see them at first. But then when you like stood there long enough and you became quiet, they would start to like emerge from the trees, like the Cheshire Cat. And there was like probably what, like six of them or seven of them. And I realized, like I started to look around and I realized, oh, okay, there was this like really old stone bench that was out there. And like underneath it, there was like a little tray of cat food and some water. So somebody was feeding them, obviously. Eventually come to find out the owner of the house was this lovely woman who named Jane, who was like absolutely loved the cats and, you know, kind of like the resident like village cats or whatever. So she kind of took a liking to them and she had put food out for them. Well, they all were, most of them were like quite, I would say like feral. Like they were so not friendly. You know what I mean? They were not like warm and fuzzy or anything like that. But there was one cat who was like ridiculously sweet and affectionate, and he came right up to you and he did the cool thing that cats do. They like rub all over your legs, and he was like he was like vibrating with how much he was purring. He was such a darling. And that was Ollie. That was the cat in this photo. And at first, of course, like we're like, no, we're not gonna like let him through the doors, right? Because he's not, this isn't our property, so we want to be respectful, and like he's not, you know, going to be able to come into the garden or whatever. But as the days went on, we were there for what, like 16-18 days, I don't know, 16 days maybe, something like that. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, 2 or 3 days in, I start seeing Ollie in the garden, and I'm like, how is Ollie? Oh, by the way, he had no name, but we named him Ollie because the village was Olivella. So we named him Ollie. So I'm like, I don't know how this guy's getting in, but I mean, I love him, but it's not my like right to let him in. But come to find out, he was eventually figuring out how to go over top of the huge like wall that was like the stone wall that was surrounding the property. I know, he was like climbing a tree, getting on top of the wall. Cats can do anything. And then he was letting himself into the garden.
Yeah, wall's probably 20 feet high, just, you know, pure stone, nothing to climb on. You know, just a flat faced wall.
Yeah, it was crazy. So I don't know like how he did it exactly, but he must have climbed trees or something. And so he's getting over there. And so then he was in the garden and he's like purring up against my legs and everything. And then the woman who owns the house, she would come over every few days just to like do maintenance and deal with like some of her like staff, because this house needs a staff. This house is ridiculous. Like gardeners and things like that. She'd come over. And she came over one day and Ollie was in the garden. I was like, oh no, like I hope like she doesn't kick him out or we don't get in trouble or whatever. And he was there, and she was like, she saw him and she was so thrilled to see him there. She was so thrilled. She's like, oh, this cat. Oh, I love this cat. So she was like the opposite of what I was afraid she might be. She was so thrilled. And she was like, no, it's fine. It's fine. I was like, we haven't let him in, but I don't know how he's gotten in here. She's like, no, that's okay. Don't worry about it. Like he can hang out in the garden. It's no sweat off my back. Like, I don't care. So he just hung out in the garden for a couple more days. Then one day, so I don't know, someone left the door open a crack. I mean, there's a million windows and doors at this place, right? You got to think, this place with 18, now I think it has more like 26 bedrooms or something. Mm-hmm. Like there's and multiple houses and things like that within it. Somebody must have left a door cracked, because one day as we're all like sitting around the dinner table, where do we hear about like a little vibrating, purring machine coming down like the coming down the walkway towards us? And we look up and there he is. Ollie's coming in. He's made his way in and he's like fully like adopted himself into the workshop group. And he jumped up on people's laps and he was so lovely. And then we're like, oh no. But Jane, the owner, she was also there that day. And so she saw him come in as well. And we're like, okay, she's probably going to ask him to leave. And she was like, oh, hello, sweet Ollie. And she was so in love with him too. So she was fine that he was there. So we were like, okay, this is amazing. And so she was like, you know, if he comes in, like, that's fine. Obviously, don't let him into, like, maybe the bedrooms or anything. But, like, if he wants to hang out with you guys and you don't mind that he's here, I don't mind that he's here. So we're like, okay, that's incredible. There was also, like, a resident dog staying there with our chef. And the cat just, like, cat and the dog got along, like, no problem. So this cat adopted himself into, like, the most incredible estate in all of rural Spain so he could live there with us. And then he started coming to the classroom every day when we would teach and he would sit on people's laps and he was just sassy, sassing it up, walking around, prancing around with his gorgeous little bum up in the air, making lots of friends. So that's kind of like the story of this incredible cat and how he sort of made his way in. And then do you remember where we started finding him next?
Yes. When we wake up in the morning and there was a lovely little basket full of rolled up blankets. And then all of a sudden one morning there was a cat in and amongst all the blankets. So he fully adopted himself not only into like the best house that he could have possibly, you know, chosen in Spain, but during the 2 week period where a bunch of animal photographers,
like crazy animal lovers were going
to
be there,
happened to be there.
He must have had an intuition about us. But the woman who owned the house, she decided she was going to take him to the vet one day so she could get him like, you know, like checked out, get him like any like flea and tick medication, like anything he needed like that. He was like really clean. I don't recall him actually needing anything, but she took him in to get him checked and then got him neutered. Remember that? He got neutered while we were there and everything. Because she wanted to like either potentially keep him or see if she could get him adopted or, you know, whatever. So long story short, this cat kind of became like our mascot for Barcelona. He was around for both of the weeks, the first week and the second week, because like I said, he moved himself in pretty quickly. But Jane, the homeowner again, started to get nervous towards the very end of our second week, because obviously we were going to be leaving soon. And she was like, oh no, I just looked at like my docket and the next group of people coming in are like a bunch of like bankers from Germany and they're a bunch of like older men and I just have a feeling they're not going to want this cat around. Like it's really not necessarily like a jovial sounding group that's going to like appreciate this cat sleeping in the bucket of blankets in the living room or whatever. So she got like, okay, I got to like put a move on trying to figure out what to do with this cat. He's too special to just like kick him back out into like, you know, like kind of the wilds or whatever. So we've got to figure it out. So I have to shout out to Fee Gaines from Andorra, who Andorra is a tiny country just north of Spain, if you don't know. And she was there as a student, but she figured out, I don't know, she contacted one of her close friends who lived up in England and lived on this like a big beautiful farm, and she told her all about the cat and said, listen, like we have, the clock is ticking, like we have a few days left and this cat has to get adopted, he's so special. And he had been neutered and he had all of his like stuff at that point. I think Nicole Begley, her husband, is a vet back in, we were in Spain obviously, but back in the States her husband was a vet, but he was coming to visit us for the second week. So she like called him up and had him bring a bunch of medication and stuff over as well, like flea and tick stuff and whatever to take care of the cat. So he brought stuff over, and so the cat was ready to go. Ollie was ready to find his home, and Fee ended up connecting with this friend who was like, you know what, yep, I'll take him up in England. So Ollie ended up transferring countries in the end and ended up living, like moving to a beautiful farm in England. And with him came not only his like brand new neutering and all of his meds and everything, but he also came with like, I don't know, 40 or 50 incredible photos that were taken of him by 2 weeks of pet photographers who had followed Ollie all around the most amazing looking estate you've ever seen in like rural Spain. And there was like Ollie in the olive like trees or in the, you know, vineyards, and Ollie and sitting amongst the flowers in the garden, and Ollie inside the house inside of a big picture window overlooking the countryside. Like the most ridiculous collection of images of this cat got sent along with him to the new owner. Oh boy. So this was one photo that I did like in my style of Ollie. Everything else I shot was like natural light all around the place, kind of like, you know, ever like kind of how we were all like using as him as a model and a muse throughout the weeks. But I decided I wanted to try to get at least one shot that was like my kind of more like iconic, colorful sort of look. So that's what this photo is. And this photo was taken out at the pool area right outside of where we were teaching, where our classroom space was. And I think it was just like literally in between classes. We had like 15 minutes or something in between classes. And I was like, Sam, I'm running back up to our room and I'm getting the light and I'm getting the wide angle lens and let's make this picture really quick of Ollie. And Ollie would show up any single time you had treats. So it was no problem. If I didn't see him, I just stood in the middle of the grounds and like shook a bag and he eventually came out. So that's what this photo is.
Great.
Are you done with me?
Yes.
Oh, I have a novel idea. Mm-hmm. Would you like to leave again? Oh, I have an even more novel idea. Would you like to be adopted out onto a farm in England?
Yes. If anyone knows anyone looking for, you know, looking for just an extra mouth to feed.
Yep.
Specifically on a farm in England.
Don't worry, I'll send you off with a beautiful collection of photos of yourself.
just let me know. Well, you left no room in that entire story for me to ask you any questions
or say
anything
ask
of any
me
kind.
A question.
What was it like photographing Ollie like an untrained cat? What's the difference between working with him versus working with a dog or one of the more special weird cats that we worked with?
Cats, not all of them, but some of them are like incredibly amenable and incredibly slow moving compared to a dog. Like Ollie would just sit in one position and just kind of like gaze left and then gaze right and then like maybe lick his paw and then gaze left again. Like he was very chill and calm. All right. So maybe I'll say that an untrained Ollie is kind of like photographing a trained dog. How about I say that?
All right. That's better.
Because he was very like just slow moving and totally chill, and absolutely nothing bothered him. He was not afraid of the light. He was not worried about my big clicky camera in his face. I think the thing about cats, even though he was treat motivated, it was a little harder to get his eyes like straight down the barrel of the lens. It's much easier to do that with a dog with a treat. When you drag the treat around with a cat, like he'll look at it, but he's like much more like nonchalant about like the meaning of the treat to him. You know what I mean? Like he likes it and he'll take it, but he's not gonna like, I mean, cats don't really bend to anybody's whim really. But I think that he was easy because he was just like so, his energy was so even and calm. That might not be typical with cats, but all the ones I've ever tried to photograph, luckily so far, aside from one that I can think of, which was for a client ages and ages ago. Other than that one cat, like I've always had a pretty good time photographing cats.
So that a lot of it has to do with the personality of the cat specifically, much like the dog.
Yeah. And I mean, then obviously what makes this so easy is like the setting we're in. You know what I mean? Like this isn't the most ideal spot I've ever taken a dog breathy photo because there's some stuff in the background that's a little distracting. There's like a big bush in the background and like a tree that's kind of like almost growing out of his head, which isn't completely ideal. But within the grounds of the house, this was like the most wide open area where I could see a lot of sky. But I will say, though, I mean, literally everything on that property is so stunning, like you can't even believe it's real. So it was a pretty nice place to have the ability to just bring a cat around and use him as a model everywhere, inside and outside. We should share some of the insidey and the other ones, too, that we took of Ollie over the week, like just share it over the week, especially if we do have to skip next week, then we have some good Ollie stuff we can share. We can parse it out.
Good. We get a lot of great Ollie photos. Any updates about Ollie?
I don't know. I know he made it to the farm. Mm-hmm. I know that. I haven't heard anything about Ollie in a while. Maybe I'll shoot a message out to Fee and see if she has any updates from her friend. But I know he made it out there. I'm sure he's absolutely loving life. Mm-hmm. It's better than, you know, him being kicked around by potentially bunches of different groups of people coming through this other rental property and potentially not liking him, slash living in the village with the other cats who were quite feral and they were like kind of bossing him around and, you know, watching them kind of have cat fights over food and stuff. Obviously, this is a much more beautiful existence for him, as, you know, living in a place with like love and a family and guaranteed meals.
Oh, good. Well, that cat weaseled his way into just the perfect situation for himself, didn't he?
I think so.
And yeah, that's kind of a specialty of certain cats. My parents' cat being the same, just weaseled his way right into his life.
Yep.
But yeah, it's a beautiful story, beautiful story arc for Ollie there. Kaylee, we're coming up on our time.
Okay.
Any last parting words you want to leave our good friends with?
Well, actually, I think, Sam, I'm going to turn the tables on you. Mm-hmm. Because you've been sitting here so quiet and so lovely while I told my story. And when I say lovely, I mean extremely frustrated, looking like you're going to reach out and choke me. Mm-hmm. So now I'd like to give you the spotlight and say, Sam, how would you like to leave us? And what kind of song are you going to sing for us today?
Oh, say, we'll see you in a couple of weeks. And it's possible it will be just Kaylee, because I'll be living on a farm.
In England with a cat.
Goodbye.
See you later. Thanks for listening.
Adventures in Dog Photography with Kaylee Greer and Sam Haddix is a Dog Breath production. Follow us on Instagram at Adventures in Dog Photography, and be sure to rate, review, and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.